Blog Talk Radio.
As we reference the one and the only, Jesus Christ,
our Lord and Savior, on tonight. Father God, we come with a grateful heart of your sovereignty and your love unmeasured. We thank you, O gracious Heavenly Father, for sending us together in unity once again around this spectrum. Father God, we're coming from the north, south, east, and west as pilgrims through this barren land. Father God, I'm asking you to anoint these lips of clay to bring a rhema word to those that may or may not know of you in the pardons of their sins. Grace me, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Father God. Grace me, your servant, with words of encouragement and words of wisdom to those that may be hurting deep within the epitome of their souls. These and other blessings we ask in your Son, Jesus' name. And we shall all say amen and amen. And I'm going to just let you listen to a little music for a moment, and I will be right back. All right, and I thank you for your patience. I'm just getting in from a beautiful dinner that my assistant pastor just openly welcomed me and just rolled out the red carpet for me on today. I'm just so blessed and privileged to God to have people in my circle of that magnitude. And I just want to send a shout out of appreciation to Bishop and my pastor and my daughter, Bishop Shirlene Cook, out of Livermore, California. I just want you to know that God loved you and I love you, and there is a blessing bestowed up with your name on it. And so our sermon tonight is we're coming back with a part two or phase two with adversity. And we was talking about how in this life we go through adversity, we go through hardship, we go through sorrow and suffering in this life. And so I was talking about if one of your kids would come to you, you know, in sorrow, and they was explaining something that occurred in their lives. You know, we as people of God and parents, you know, we can always encourage our children and lift them up before God, because we know that trouble, suffering, and our adversary, it will not last always. But this is just a test. Hallelujah. This is a test of our faith. And so we know that as parents, you can be uneasy. And then we know that sometimes we don't sleep well. And you can just merely imagine what your kids are going through. And on occasion, you can find yourself unable to endure. But you have to have information about how your sons or daughters is doing. And so this is exactly what Timothy was sent out to do. And we see that Paul stated that he sent Timothy for two reasons. And the first reason was to strengthen the believer, and the second was to encourage them as to their faith. And to help you understand the importance of those reasons, let's briefly examine those two terms. We find out that the word strengthen means to show up and to buttress. And that's an old word we don't even use today, buttress. But I found out that if the reason and the purpose that it plays, it is to put a ramrod down one's back and to enable him or her to stand straight and erect, come what may. So he said that I sent Timothy to put a ramrod down your back so that you wouldn't slump and shuffle around as though you were being mistreated, but would stand tall during the hard times. And you stand erect like a shear in a blizzard. And then you wouldn't refuse to bend against all odds. I sent him to add strength to you. Hallelujah. And one of the titles of the Holy Spirit, it often translates comfort in the New Testament, but here it is rendered encourage. It is the idea of standing alongside another person to put courage into him or her. There is a loving, confident hug of reassurance in the word. And if you have ever gone through the valley, perhaps you could testify that you were able to make it only because a Timothy came to your side. Timothy, in your case, might have been a physician, or a counsel, or a neighbor, or perhaps your own parents. But when the Timothy came, whoever he was, he brought strength and encouraged you. And notice the encouragement had a target, to encourage you as to your faith. And Timothy, that's the way it is in life. Hallelujah. Others have made it, and you can make it too. And I'm talking to all of my digital podcast audience on tonight. Matter whatever you're going through, whatever adversary that's going on in your life, I'm here to bring you good cheer. I'm here to bring you courage that you can make it. Hallelujah. You can make it. All you got to do is just hold on to God's unchanging hand. Hallelujah. And we know that Timothy didn't just come to say, hey, buck up, you can handle it, suck it up, that's the way it is in life. And we know that if your mother made it, you can make it. If your grandmother made it, you can make it. If your friend made it, you can make it. All you have to do is just put forth the faith and your belief in God. Hallelujah. And we know that Timothy, he didn't come to be a motivational cheerleader. That's not it. Timothy came to examine and to help strengthen the Thessalonians in their faith. Hallelujah. And we'll talk about what the Old Testament has to say. And if you go in 1 Samuel 23, this is the story when it comes to relationships. It's about Jonathan and David. And we find out that the young David hunted by King Saul. And Saul was in a crazed state of mind. And the paranoid king was convinced that young David was trying to usurp the throne to Saul. It forgot all about fighting the Philistines. Hallelujah, and decided his greater need was to fight David and ultimately to kill him. But in the meantime, Jonathan, Saul's son, had developed a warm and supportive relationship with David, his brother in the faith. Imagine the scene. And we know that David stayed in the wilderness, in the stronghold, and remained in the hill country in the wilderness. Abijah and Saul sought him every day. But God did not deliver him into his hands. Hallelujah. Now David became aware that Saul had come out to seek his life. While David was in the wilderness of Ziph at Hosea, the Hosea, and it said, now, it had to have somebody on your tail, but it's even worse when you find out that they are. And then the news reached to David in his hiding place that Saul is out to get you. He's got his men searching for you. They know what you look like. You'd better watch out. Look what's happening, according to the next verse. And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David as Hosea and encouraged him in God. Now you're talking about a need. Jonathan became David's single source of earthly support. Now can you imagine how David treasured that meeting with Jonathan? We wouldn't be amazed if we could find out who the Davids are today. Do you have any Davids in your life that we're talking about in the biblical time? Do you have any of those Davids in your life? Now back to the Thessalonians situation that need Timothy, a century one Jonathan. For this reason, when I could endure it no longer, I also sent to find out about your faith. That's in the law of 1 Thessalonians 3:5. And remember, it wasn't just to see how they were doing. It wasn't a nosy curiosity. He wanted to see how you was doing. Hallelujah. And you might ask why. For fear that the tempter might have tempted you and our labor should be in vain. Now, you know, this is practical of some people. And we find out that one of the great battles within young Christians today occurs when the adversary strikes during a time of suffering. The adversary finds that weak link or that clink in the armor, and he pushes his way in. That's when our comfort zone really gets to see. When you can't endure it any longer, you pick up the phone and you call. That's a modern day paraphrase of verse. And I guess we can say, when I couldn't do it no longer, I sent a friend. I wrote a letter. I took time from my schedule to check up on how you were doing. We're not isolated in the island of solid granite, living out our lives like rocks of Gibraltar. We are not eroding pieces of salt in the seashore, especially when we are traveling the road of pain. When those age-old ways of affliction are beating against you, we need each other, family. And Timothy's presence must have been a great encouragement to the Thessalonian believers. And just let me add this, that on occasion, it's wise to trace your churning. Sometimes you will churn over someone during the night. When you awaken, you'll still be churning over the same individual. You just can't seem to get the person out of your mind. And this was the same way Paul was in his situation. When I couldn't endure any longer, I also sent to find out. I want a little advice, but no extra charge. Don't ignore your turning. Trace them. Ask yourself, why? Why can't I get so and so off my mind? Check up on him or her and find out. At the heart of Paul's concern, it was fear that the tempter might have tempted you and our labor should be in vain. We know that Paul didn't want to look back and say all of those hours we spent together were spent in vain. Hallelujah. And we know that theological perspective, and to keep the right perspective in all of this, We need a solid dose of theology. Back to verse 4. Same chapter, same subject of suffering. Paul has been concerned about the Thessalonians, so you can look at the theological behind the suffering. He sent Timothy, hallelujah, to encourage and to strengthen them, so that no man may be disturbed by these afflictions. So before I go any further, I want to analyze that first part of verse. Paul said a fact that we can rely on. It is this. Affliction need not unsettle God's people. We know that a very interesting Greek term, translated disturb, is used only here in all of the New Testament. Paul draws it from an extra biblical literature and has inserted it here under the guidance of the Holy Spirit to grab the attention of the reader. We know originally it was used to describe the wagging of a dog's tail. The whole idea was to shake them back and forth, then turn later, grew to mean more than the idea of a dog wagging his tail. Finally, as you come up closer to it, the creature bites. And if you are a runner, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And rule number one, never trust a dog that wags his tail. You might ask why, Pastor Ward. Because it's going to bite you. It's going to catch up with you and catch you off guard. And you're going to be deceived. That's the word here. I don't want you in the midst of wagging of all of this experience and to be bitten, shaken, and hurt. We know that a child of God need not be unsettled by affliction. You know how it happens. It often begins with questions. See if these sound familiar. Don't God care about me anymore? Is he the one who promised to help me? How can he be good and permit this to happen to me? Why doesn't he answer my prayers? Is he deaf? And then intensifies into doubt. Maybe I'll believe wrongly all my life. We find out that these questions cause us to start rethinking our bottom line conviction. Do you know somebody who's struggling through those thoughts right now? You know they are, and they have been deceived by affliction. And we know that Paul realized how subtle the enemy is. And we know that Timothy said, I sent him to strengthen and encourage you so you wouldn't be full of doubt from these afflictions. And that's the idea. Now, there is a logical and practical question we would be wise to ask. Hallelujah. How can I keep from being disturbed by affliction? How can I keep from having those doubts that unsettle my faith? First of all, I remember that I have been destined for this. So that no man may be disturbed by these afflictions for you. Yourselves know that we have been destined for this. Verse 3. God, in his sovereign and inscrutable plan, realized that pain had to be a part of our training program. So he destined it for us. And second, keep in mind that I have been warned ahead of time. Look at verse 4. For indeed, when we were with you, we kept telling you in advance that we were going to suffer affliction, and so it came to pass, as you know. I know my time is running out of gas. I'm going to see if I can read a few more, just a few more of this passage. So as I mentioned warning someone about something important in advance, I recall a familiar scene. I prepared my child for marriage as best as could, and one of my piece of counsel was this. Falling in love is wonderful. Courtship is great. The wedding ceremony is a memory you'll never forget. The honeymoon as well, it was pretty good. But when all of that has taken place and you begin to live the real life, roll up your sleeves and tighten your belt. It's tough. for when they go, not if they go, but when they go, through the difficulties in marriage they have been forewarned, both have thanked me, by the way, for the previous warning. So we're going to close right here, and we're going to come back, the Lord said a thing, on tomorrow night with phase three of adversity. And in ending, I hope and I pray that I've said something to demagnetize your mind and to impact your spirit, as I have brought unto you the divine word of truth. And if this program has been a blessing with your daily walk with God, we encourage you to send your correspondence to God House of Deliverance, Pentecostal Ministry. Program is Blog Talk Radio, Old Ship of Zion. You have any prayer petitions you would like the Old Ship of Zion to pray with you about? You send your remittance to Attention Senior Pastor Janice Ward, P.O. Box 1600, Gilroy, California, 95020. Till we meet again, I want you to go in God as God goes in you. Bye for now.
Dad, congratulations for 25 years in music ministry. I think the good thing about that is it's 25 and counting. You know, it's like, it's not over. He still amazes me weekly with his musical ability. And recently we got a chance to record a song together. I wrote it for someone else, but we would travel on the road together and do it. And people wanted to hear our version, so we did that. Simple song too.
So never stop worrying. Worrying how the story ends. When I let go and I let God, I let God have his way. That's within.